week, we have been celebrating. The nation is called to step aside from all of the chaos and confusion, all of the running to and fro, all of the discombobulation of life. Just reflect on the goodness of God and say thank you. And last Thursday, most of us, if not all of us, were at some place, at some home, with some family, sharing how thankful we are for what God has done for us. This morning, we want to continue in that vein of being thankful as we call your attention to two passages of Scripture that we will use as a backdrop for the word that God has placed in my heart to deposit in your spirit this morning. The first is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. And then we're going to go to the Old Testament and look at Psalms 34 verses 1, 2, and 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. When you have it, please stand with me as we honor God in the reading of his word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18. If you have it, let me hear you say amen. You're still looking. Say, I'm still looking. Okay, did I hear a few people say, I'm still looking? 1 Thessalonians is in New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Keep going in that direction and you'll run into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. I believe we all have it, don't we? Amen. Let's read together. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Somebody say amen. Now let's turn to Psalms 34, the 34th division of the Psalms. We're going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalms 34, verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalms 34, verses 1, 2, and 3. Do you have it? Let's read together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let us pray. Yahweh, the hour is come again when your son Jesus and Jesus alone must be lifted up. For it was Jesus who said, and if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men or women or boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up right now. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. When this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. And the people of God say amen, say amen, say amen. You may be seated. Want to talk to us on this Thanksgiving weekend on the praise that transforms your atmosphere. The praise that transforms your atmosphere. My brothers and sisters, I don't think that anyone who understands and appreciates the passion of praise and thanksgiving, the attitude of praise and thanksgiving, will deny that praising and giving thanks to God does something to the man or woman who gives such praise and thanks to God that changes their atmosphere. When we give thanks, when we give praises to God, it changes the atmosphere. It not only changes us, but it changes those who are around us, because it settles in our minds, my brothers and sisters, that no matter what we are going through and no matter what situations we find ourselves in, that the God whom we serve is with us, and that he is in control. And no matter how terrible the situation may look, God will work it out for our good and for his glory. I wish I had a witness in this house. Thanksgiving, my brothers and sisters, causes our attitude to change. When you are thankful, when you are grateful, a matter of fact, somebody said that the attitude of gratitude transcends your altitude. It causes you to go in an altitude at a level that you will not normally go to when you from the pit of your guts give God praise and thanksgiving. And no wonder the Apostle Paul encourages us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 when he says, no matter what you are going through, no matter how ugly things may be, no matter how terrible your year have been, he says to us, in everything, somebody say everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, I'm so glad, Elder Landry, that Paul doesn't say for everything. Read the passage again. He didn't say for everything. I'm not going to thank God for my eye problem. It's not a good feeling. I'm not going to thank God for being broke. I wish I had two witnesses up in here. I'm not going to thank God for my child dying at 18 and 19 and 20. I'm not going to thank God for my divorce or for my family breaking up. But through it and in it, I can thank God.
because I understand without a doubt that God is in it with me. And that God will work it out for my good, whatever the devil meant for evil. When I begin to recognize that as ugly as it is, I can still thank God he works it out for my good. And this is where we find David, the shepherd king of Israel, in our passage of meditation today. The redactor, the transcriber of this song begins the song with an inscription. An inscription that is intended to help us appreciate what David is going through and why David is praising the Lord. If you look at Psalms 34 verse 1, the inscription begins the psalm of David when he changed his behavior in the presence of Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Now, there's a reason why the redactor said, I'm going to tell you a little bit about this song. This song is not just an ordinary song, Elder Wilson. It is a song that came about from David's experience when he was before Abimelech or Achish, king of Gath. And before Abimelech, king of Gath, David began to change his behavior. And the changing of his behavior caused Abimelech to drive him away, and he departed. Pastor, can you explain that? Yes, I will. I'm so glad you asked. Go back home and read 1 Samuel chapter 21 and chapter 22 to understand the full context of this passage so that you can appreciate it. David is the anointed but not yet appointed king of Israel. You're not listening to me. David has been anointed as king but not yet appointed as king. And David is being chased by King Saul, who has been rejected by God, but not yet ejected from the throne. Please say that again, Pastor. I'm going to say that. David is anointed, Sister Milton, but not yet appointed. Saul is rejected, but not yet ejected. And let me just pause here parenthetically to share with some of us that because you are anointed doesn't necessarily mean you are appointed. Sometimes, between the anointing and the appointing, you got to go through some struggle. And you got to wait on God's time. A matter of fact, on God's turn. Somebody said turn. Now let me tell you the difference between time and turn. I got to say this. My elders have advised me to speak in such a way that, you know, the truth that I'm saying, it doesn't really hit you, you know, real hard. So I'm finding a way to say this. I wanted to say, I don't like doctors. But I'm not going to say that. I don't like the way doctors deal with time. You know, maybe it's just me. But they'll tell you, come at 8 o'clock. You wake up 6 o'clock. You get dressed. You beat the traffic. You get there 7:45. Sign your name. They don't see you until 8:45. And, you know, I'm not too smart, so I'm scratching my head and say, now, if you wanted me at 8:45, why didn't you tell me to come at 8:45? I would have been here. You told me to come at 8 o'clock, but you didn't call my name till 9:30. I'm the pastor of the Berean church. I got stuff to do. And one day I got upset with the nurse when she came and called, Mr. Weegar, yes, that's me, and I'm mad. Y'all told me to come at this time, and I've been here since. And she said, well, sir, what you don't understand is you are asked to come on time, but you got to wait your turn. I wish somebody would pick this up. See, because God has made a promise to you. That promise is coming on time, but you got to wait your turn. Sometimes you got to get in the back of the line and wait for the appointment, even though you already have the anointment. Is that two people in here who believe that God is a God who knows what he's doing? And most of us hurt ourselves because sometimes we try to jump ahead of the appointment because we got the anointment. But here's David. He's got the anointed, but not the appointment. Saul, who was the existing king, has been rejected by God, but not yet ejected. He is still on the throne. And if I can just pause here a little bit, because somebody that God has placed in leadership over you have been rejected by God, doesn't mean you should go and start disrespecting them and treating them out of order, because they may be rejected but not yet ejected. But Saul is after David's life. And David runs to a place called Nob, N-O-B. And there he meets the priest, Ahimelech. Now don't get that mixed up. We got Abimelech, the king, and Ahimelech, the priest. The king is in Gath. The priest is in Nob. David and his men, those men who are supporting him, running from King Saul, gets to Nob. They are starved to death. They ask the priest, do you have anything here to eat? The priest said, no, I don't have any common bread. I have holy bread, but because you guys are hungry, if you can prove to me and satisfy the fact that none of your men had been with women for the last 3 days, I can let you eat the holy bread. And Ahimelech gives David the bread, but he gives David something else. He gives him a sword. David leaves because Saul is still chasing him. And David finds himself in Gath, behind enemy lines. Now, the strange thing about Gath is when David gets there, he's recognized. I wish I had three Bible students in here, because if you know anything about Bible stories, you know what Gath is. Gath is where that big old guy called Goliath, who was standing before Yahweh and his people and talking all kind of smack, got his head cut off by David. And the people started singing, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000. David comes to Gath. where Goliath is a native and is still being mourned. And when the people see David, not only do they see him, but they see him with a sword, and this sword belongs to Goliath. Now you talk about in trouble. In real trouble. And the men of Gath goes to Achish or Abimelech, the king of Gath, and say, guess what, king? You know that young boy from the land of Israel that killed our man? Guess what? He's in our territory. And he doesn't even have a visa. We didn't even let him in. He came through the fences. And the scripture says, David is afraid for his life. Won't you be? Everybody is talking. Channel 10 News. David, it has been reported, is in the city of Gath. Everybody and their grandmother coming out to try to see David. And David is scared. They bring him before the king. And he knows that his head is going to go for it. And the Bible says David does something that all of us should learn to do when we are trapped behind enemy line. David goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puff. Scripture says David starts spitting on himself. You know, he's got this long beard. He starts pulling his hair and spitting on himself. And, you know, the snot from his nose is running. The brother is crying, but they don't know. And when Abimelech sees him, the king, he said, get this crazy man from my face. He said, you know, I got enough crazy people in this city. I don't need no other crazy to join them. Get him out of my sight and get him out of my town. And the Bible says that David gets out what the enemy meant for evil. God turned into David's good. And I just stopped by to give somebody a little tip this morning. When you want to get the enemy off your back, you gotta act more crazy than the enemy. Let the enemy know you think you crazy. You ain't seen nothing yet. I am more crazy than you can ever. I wish somebody was listening to me. You think I'm gonna stop worshiping because you took my job. Now watch what I'll do. I'll start double tithing and I can't even pay my rent yet. Turn to somebody and say, that's crazy. You think I'm gonna stop coming to church because I'm sick, because they did this to me, because this person treated me wrong. You think I'm not going to call and pray for them and pray with them because they've been talking about me behind my back. You think, well, watch and see. I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to say, brother or sister, I know there's a whole lot of rumor out there about what you said about me and what you did to me, but I just called to pray with you because we are God's children. When you start acting crazy like that, the devil will say, move him or her away from here because I got enough crazy people to deal with. I don't need him. I don't need her. See, the devil can stand crazy people. Let me show you a crazy person. Somebody who's worked all week and they're tired. And 5 o'clock in the morning, the devil said, I'm going to put this sleep whiny on you. And right about that time, what he didn't know was they set the alarm when they came home from work. And the alarm goes off and they get up, tired as they are, stumbling through the bathroom, but they're going to get dressed and show up at church and be here for Sabbath school and be here for on time. And their neighbor said, you got to be crazy. I thought you just got off work. And they said, yeah, I'm crazy. You know why I'm crazy? Because the one that took me to work and brought me home safely is the one I'm going to meet with. Is that two people in here who want to say, I want to be cuckoo for Cocoa Puff for Jesus? See, the problem with us is we're too timid. Devil throws a little stuff at us. We just shrivel. Crawl in a corner. Whole world against me. Why is everybody always picking on me? No, no, no. Get up, shake it off. Do your, what to say, get your hair did. You know, put some powder on your face and come up here and say, yeah, I may be crawling, but I'm coming. I may be crying, but I'm coming. They may be laughing at me, but I'm coming. You know why? Because I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puff, for Jesus Christ. Is there two crazy people up in here who said, no matter what the enemy does to me, I will yet bless the Lord? The king said, get him out of here. Well, king, he's the one who killed, but I get him out of here. Many crazy people here. So now David leaves Gath. He can't go back to Israel. He can't go anywhere. And he's with these group of men, and they find a cave called Adullam. That's where David is sleeping. I know you tucked your wings under your skirt and your jacket. I know you left your halo in the halo closet in the foyer. But help me understand this, because I'm still struggling. How do you handle life when the thing that everybody said was supposed to pave your way to success begins to poison the way to your success? How do you handle life when the stuff that should have been an asset to you begin to upset you? What do you do, my friend, when the stuff that everybody said was going to get you where you're supposed to be is this thing that is getting you away from where you should be? How do you handle life when life comes against you? When God told you you're going to be king of Israel, no, the oil didn't fall on any of your brothers, but it fell on you. You were the one who had five smooth stones in a sling. When all of Israel's trained army could not face this man, with one slingshot, you took him down. And all of a sudden, you're running for your life. You don't have friends. You don't have family. You don't have food. Everybody has left you alone, and you are stuck in a cave. Have you ever had a cave experience? That dark, drip place of life. That smelly place of life. That place where you can't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. That place where everybody thinks you should be locked up in and die and rot in. Have you ever had a cave experience? Oh, my brothers and sisters, David had a cave experience. Oh, but in that cave, he taught us how to deal with our cave experience. This song was written in a cave. I heard one preacher say that David didn't have a Mark Blunt pen. He didn't have crayons or writing utensils. But David decided, I'm not just going to sing this song, Elder Jones, but I'm going to write this song for posterity, because one day somebody at Berean will be in a cave situation and they will need this song like I need it today. And David picked up a stone, and on the wall of the cave, he began to carve the words, I will bless the Lord. At all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. And although nobody's in the cave with him, nobody's around the cave with him, David realizes that God has been so good. God has been so powerful. God has been so magnificent in his life that he cannot praise God by himself. His praise is not sufficient to give God glory for all that God has done for him. And David throws his head back and yells at whoever can hear him, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. David is telling you and me, my brothers and sisters, that when we are going through, the only thing that can change the atmosphere for us is our praise. When we settle in our minds that I'm not here by myself, that God is with me, that God will never leave me. Now hear this. I don't want you to leave here thinking that when David is talking about praise and thanksgiving, that he's just talking about shouting and making a bunch of noise and foaming at the mouth. Turn around 3 times, run around the church, jump over 6 pews. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Because David uses 2 Hebrew words. How many Hebrew words? To describe what he's talking about. The first word is the word barak. Everybody say barak. That word means to submit to the will of God no matter what you are going through. Matter of fact, on a side note, that's the name of your current president. It means to submit to Yahweh, Barak, the one who submits. But this is how David says it. He said, I will Barak the Lord at all times. I will submit to God. Oh, I don't want to be on this job right now. I need a new job. But because God has not decided to move me to the new job yet, I will do this job so well that they would not want to get rid of me. Turn to somebody and say, submit. See, we think that praising God and blessing God is just coming to church and saying, hallelujah. Think, yeah, that's part of it too, but it actually means living in such a way in submission to God, especially when you are going through, so that others can look at you and say, wait a minute, how can this man smile? How can this woman laugh? How can she even love anybody with all the hell she's been through? And the only testimony you can give is because I have submitted to the will of God. David says, I will barak the Lord at all times. But here's the second word he uses. It's the word tahala. Everybody say tahala. That Hebrew word is the word from which we get our English word hallelujah. Whenever you read Psalms 50 or Psalms 150 and it says, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. What it is saying is hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah is praise, and Yah is the short for Yahweh, God. So whenever you say hallelujah, what you are saying in Hebrew is praise the Lord. I wish there were two people in here who would join me praising right now. Just turn to your neighbor and say, hallelujah. God is worthy to be praised. David says, not only will I submit to God. Oh, God, help me to explain this the way I want to. But in my submission, I'm not going to walk around with egg on my face. I'm not going to walk around all nasty attitude. It's just yeah, God, I'm coming to Berean because you want me to come. You know I don't like anybody there, and they don't like me anyway. So I'm just coming sitting, and I don't want nobody calling my name, nobody talking to me. Don't you even sit next to me. Happy Sabbath is happy for you, but it's not for me. See, David said, no, that's not the attitude. David said, I will submit, but in my submission, I will start praising God. I'm going through pain, but hallelujah. I'm going through trouble, but hallelujah. Nobody wants me to sit next to them, but hallelujah, because God is worthy to be praised. Is there two people in here who can testify? He is hallelujah. David gives us a three-dimensional praise in this passage. David said, you cannot fully praise God until you praise him three-dimensionally. The first dimension that David gives us is a continuous submission. Somebody say continuous submission. I will bless, I will barak the Lord continuously. I never stop. I don't only do it on Sabbath. I don't wait for the sun to set. You know some of us Sabbath worshipers, we like Sabbath during the fall and the winter because the sun sets early. We can wait. But David said, no. I will submit to God continuously. Our barak. And then he says, his hallel shall always be in my mouth. The second dimension of praise that David teaches us in this song is vociferous. Everybody say vociferous articulation. David said, you can brag on somebody being quiet. When somebody's done something for you, you gotta yell it out. Oh, don't look at me like you don't know. You've been to a Tigers game and they ain't doing nothing for you. They took your money and they're running some pigskin. But because your team had made a touchdown, or because the quarterback threw a good catch, that now everybody on their feet, and they're not saying, wasn't that a very intelligent catch? Did you see how spontaneous the running back was? People looking at you like, what you drink today? Everybody up there said, yes! Because you cannot allow without being vociferous, without being vocal. And what blows my mind is, with all that God has done for us, how do we come in the presence of God and we are too cute to even say hallelujah, too cute to even wave our hand, too cute to testify of the goodness of God? David said, my praise will be a continuous submission and a vociferous articulation. I was at a white church I hope they never listen to this tape. But I was at a white church, and I was preaching, and everybody was just looking at me funny. So I told them, I said, I tell you what, I said, where I come from, preaching is dynamic. It's call and response. It's a conversation between the preacher and the audience. I said, and don't let this bow tie fool you. I'm not as intelligent as you think I look. I said, if you don't talk back to me, I will think you didn't understand what I said. And I keep repeating myself. And we're going to be here till about 6 o'clock this evening. All of a sudden, somebody said, amen. But we come in the presence of God with all that God has done for us. We can't open our mouth to blessing. And when somebody opened their mouth behind us, we turn around to see whether they are crazy. But I thank God for the Berean church. Because in this church, we are vociferous. In this church, we wave our hand when nobody's preaching. We stomp our feet when nobody is singing. Because when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me, my soul cry out, hallelujah. Is there two people in here who can say, I can't shut up? So David said, our praise must be continuously submitting to God. It must vociferously articulate the goodness of God. And this is the third point. He said it must be of a vicious expression. He said, my soul. He's talking about that Hebrew word, nefesh. That thing that God, when the Bible says he made man, Adam, and Eve, and he breathed in them the breath of life, and their soul came alive. David said, my soul will make her boast of the Lord. In other words, I will not only submit to God with my head, with my mind, with my decisions. I will not only talk about the goodness of God, but when I start talking about it, you got an SOS, slide over some if you can't handle my praise, because I'm going to get real emotional about who God is and what he's done for me. I wish there were three emotional people in here who can get up like David said, I'm going to dance out of my skirt. I'm going to dance out of my shoe. I'm going to dance out of my shirt because God has been too good to me. Is there two people in here that's so thankful for what God is and who God is, and they can't help but get up on their feet and say, hallelujah. David said, I got to be emotional about this thing. You know, people talk about, you can be too emotional at church. And what they don't realize is your emotion is a part of the three components that make up your humanity. Your mind, your body, and your spirit, your soul. No wonder they call us soul folk. We can't come in no church, sit up there, you know, try to be all intelligent. With all the hell we've been through, with all the stuff we've been through, with all the stuff they've done for us, and we are still here, we ain't dead yet, we still laughing, still smiling, still blessing God. No, I'm not going to be intelligent, I'm going to be emotional about this thing, because God has been too good to me. That's why I kick my leg and wave my hand, and I don't need nobody to help me, I do it all by myself. Is there anybody in this? Well, But why, David? Why this continuous submission? Why this vociferous articulation? Why this vivacious expression? David says, because of four things. Everybody say four things. And I'm going to tell you, and I'll shut up and let you go. Number one, David says, is because God has been good to me. Take your Bible and turn to Psalms 34 and look at verse number 4. He says it. He said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all. No, not from some, not from most, but from all of my fear. In other words, I know that we're going to close the plant down. But I went home and slept at night. Because I know God is the joy and the strength of my life. I know that the marriage didn't work out and everybody was talking about me. But I went home and slept at night because he delivered me from all of my fears. See, you and I need to recognize that we don't need to come to church to hear a good sermon to bless God. You don't need no praise team and no choir to rave you up and just, yo, let's get up and everybody. No. When you think about what God has done for you, that alone should motivate you to begin to bless him. But here's the one that I like. David said, not only am I blessing God for what he's done for me, verse 4, but verse 5, he said, I'm going to bless God for what he's done for my neighbors. Here's how he put it. He said, they looked at him and their what? Faces were enlightened. In other words, I'm not just talking about me now. I'm talking about my neighbor. God may not be blessing me right now, but I'm going to praise him because he's blessing my neighbor. See, the problem with us is we're always looking for God to bless us. We're not thankful because God blessed them. But in this song, David said, the blessing that I'm praising God for is not just for me, but for them. Let me give you a little story that I heard. Say, this little boy, he just started screaming. His dad had come home from work that evening, tired, gone in his room trying to get some rest. And he just heard his son, you know, about 6 years old. The ice cream man. So the dad, all startled, come out. Leroy, what's going on? He must have been black. His name was Leroy. What's going on, Leroy? And Leroy said, Dad, the ice cream man, the ice cream man. The dad went out the door, looked to the right, down the street, looked to the left, down the street. Don't see no ice cream man. Don't see no truck. Walking back in the house. Talk about, Leroy, you need to be quiet, boy. You're crazy. Ain't no ice cream man out there. And the boy said, yes, Daddy, it ain't out there yet. He said, but I heard the children on the other block behind us screaming and yelling the ice cream man. And I heard the truck and the music. And I am crazy enough to believe that if the ice cream man is on the block behind me in my neighborhood, sooner or later, he's going to be on my block. So I'm going to start shouting in advance and blessing God for the ice cream man that I haven't seen yet. Is that two people in here that can say he may not be on my block yet, but if he's blessing my neighbor, if he's in my neighborhood, sooner or later, he's going to come on my block. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Every now and then, you need to bless God in advance for what he hasn't done yet, but what he's doing for your neighbor, what he's doing for your friends, the promotion they are getting, the things that are happening to their children. When you hear the news, don't get depressed. Don't be mad. Don't be sad. Be glad, because if he's in the neighborhood, sooner or later, he's going to stop by your house. Is anybody listening to me? So David says, the second reason that I'm going to bless God is because he's blessing my neighbors. But the third reason, David said, I'm so vivacious about my praise is because he's blessing the least, the lonely, and the left out. He said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard this poor man and saved him from all. Everybody say, oh. Do you hear all of these, all that David is using? David is talking about a God who does things completely. He doesn't have to do it. And let me tell you something. You better be thankful for God blessing the poor people. God blessing the people that don't have what you have. Yeah, I know you got a big car, you got a big house, you got food in the cupboard, you got a job that pays you every week. You make over $100,000 a year, but you better thank God for the people that God is blessing that don't have the kind of job you have the kind of neighborhood you live in, have the kind of car you drive. Because if God wasn't blessing them, guess what? That will be a pain to your joy. The reason that person didn't carjack you was God blessed them that day before your car showed up. I wish somebody was listening to me. The reason why your house hasn't been burglarized yet is because God blessed some poor person who was thinking about coming to your house. Yes, they had your number, and they were going to come tear into your stuff because they know that you got it going on. But God blessed them, and so they left your house alone. And David said, for that, I'm going to just bless God. I'm a blessing for blessing the poor. I'm a blessing for blessing the lonely. I'm a blessing and praising for blessing those who are left out. And the last reason, David says, I'm going to bless him for blessing the saints of God. He says, the angel of the Lord, verse 7, encamped round about them that fear him. Oh, my friends, let me tell you something. There is something about being a part of the fellowship of God's people. There's something about being a part of the community of faith, because God usually blesses the community more than he blesses individual people. I wish somebody was listening to me. That's why I don't miss church unless I just can't come. I got to be sick, dying, can't crawl to miss church. Because you know what? I don't know what God plans to do that day. And what I've realized, Elder, is sometimes my blessing don't come through the preaching. Sometimes my blessing that day comes through the Sabbath school lesson. Sometimes my blessing that day comes through somebody just standing up and singing. And after they've sang, God just wash you and just flood your soul that you about to say, we can just say the benediction and go home, because I don't need no more preaching right now. Because God said, see, the problem with us is we try to tell God how to bless us. We come and we dictate to God. And so if the preacher don't flip cartwheels and do all of these theatrics to make you leave that, that church was dead today. Church was dead when God was here, with all that he's done, when he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He said that when two or three of you are gathered in my name, I will be here. I don't care whether nobody preaches, nobody sings, nobody do anything. I am happy to be here because God keeps his promise. He said, if two or three, I don't need a church full. I don't need 10,000 members. Yes, I wish the church was full, but if two or three of us show up here, God has made a promise that he keeps all the time. He will be here with us. Is there anybody in here who believes that God is here with us today? David says, I bless him for blessing the saints, for taking care of his people, because I'm a part of that group. Yeah, I may not have the kind of car that they have. I may not live in a house in the neighborhoods that they live in. I may not have the fineries of life that they have, but I got three testimonies. You want to hear it? He woke me up this morning. Number one, he woke me up this morning. Number two, he woke me up. I wish somebody would hear me. Because I don't care how big your house is, how nice your car is, how pretty your boo look. If you don't wake up in the morning, none of that makes sense. None of that matters. So I'm not praising him for a car. I'm not praising him for a house. I'm not praising him for my boo. This praise is because he woke me up this morning. Is there two people in here who can say, I just bless him because he woke me up this morning? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and their face were lightning. Oh, if anybody would just join me here today and say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I thank God that even the government of these United States recognizes that praise and thanksgiving changes the atmosphere. And they made a law and a decree and a legislation that on one day in a year, you may not do it three times, you may not do it one month, you may not do it every day, but at least once a year, you can wake up and say, I don't care what's going on today, I will bless the Lord at all times. Is there two people in here who don't mind getting up on their feet and say, this day, this time, this one time, well, bless the Lord. I like David because he was about blessing and praising God. You know, David is writing the songbook of the Bible, the Psalms, the Hebrew songbook. And he is about to come to the end of the hymn book. And he said, all through the first, the second, the third, the 140, 145th, they may not have caught the fact that this thing is about praising. So in Psalms 146, David begins the song by saying, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 146, David ends by saying, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 147, David begins by saying, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 147, David ends the song by saying, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 148, David begins by saying, pray. I wish I had two church people in here. Ye the Lord. Psalms 148, David ends with, praise ye the Lord. Psalms 149, David begins with, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 149, David ends with, praise ye the Lord. Then just in case you didn't get it, in 146, 147, 148, and 149, David said, inhale, take a deep breath, and exhale. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. The Bible. Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Is there any praise people up in here? Is there any blessing people up in here? Is there any worshiping people up in here? Is there any submitting people up in here? Is there any vociferous voices in here? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I gotta bless him because he's been too good to me. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he fix it? Won't he change it? Won't he turn it around? Say it. Ah. Well, bless the Lord at all times. His halal shall continually be my mouth. If I kind of upset you, I apologize. You don't know what I've been going through. A few weeks ago, I had to ask my elders to read my scripture for me. For 6 months, I couldn't drive a car. If I had to do a research for my sermon, I asked my wife to come and turn the computer on and read it for me. I asked my daughter to come and read it, highlight it and copy it and put it on a sheet and make the font 54 font with a magnifying glass for me to be able to read it. So if God hasn't done anything for you, excuse me. S-O-S. Turn to your neighbor and say, sly over some. Because I got to bless the Lord. He's been too good to me. Come on, put your hands together and bless God. If he woke you up this morning, bless him. If he started you on your way, bless him. God is worthy to be praised. I like that song. Can you help me sing this song? That's one of my favorite. God is the joy and the strength of my life. He moves all pain, misery, and strife. He promised to keep me, never to leave me. He's never, ever come short of his word. I got to fast and pray.